Well, good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to update you on some of the things that are going on at Copyright Clearance Center currently. For those of you who might not know who we are, we're pretty much a middleman between rights owners and content users for the what we'd like to say is the seamless sharing of knowledge, the licensing of content. We currently manage over 400 million individual rights within our database, which includes text rights, ebooks, blogs, and multimedia. We represent publishers, authors, and creators from around the world, and we have international coverage for both corporate and academic use, meaning we represent 35,000 companies under our repertoire license, the majority of the Fortune 500, and we cover 20 million employees worldwide. So with all the sharing of information around the world, we're able to assist in the licensing of that content. And we're licensing across 180 countries, and with over a thousand colleges and universities to allow students and faculty to share information. I'd like to put this slide up because this is a new reality. Maybe it's not doesn't seem so new anymore, but basically, user-generated content, seamless sharing of content, blogs, ebooks, images, video. Just overwhelming ways of sharing content and absorbing content. We like to keep this reality in mind when we're developing and enhancing our products because people really don't have the patience to wait to have the get the permission to share content. They want to share content when they get it and as soon as they see it. So we really try to keep that in mind when we're developing our products. So that's one of go over three areas, CCC, our copyright.com, which is our portal for licensing of content, RightsLink, which is our point of content licensing service where you can obtain permission directly from the article that you're currently reading, and RightsCentral, which is our publisher and author portal. I can't compare it to your 401k portal because we're the only ones that have a 401k, but it's like your bank account. When you go into your bank account and manage your account, that's how we like to describe RightsCentral, and I'll go in a little into that. On copyright.com, we currently have over 800,000 annual visitors and 8 million page views on copyright.com. It's a very robust commerce engine for the licensing of content. It serves both our business and academic content users from getting a course pack permission, getting permission to post something on your website, for publisher-to-publisher permissions for the republication of content, for document delivery, whatever the needs are of the business and academic community. It serves both the publishers and authors and services providers and other partners. So we have several partners, including Elsevier Scopus service, for instance, where when folks are on the content on Scopus and they want to get permission to reuse that content, they'll be connected directly to the search result page for that article on copyright.com. And we're currently about to roll out the first phase of any publisher that has a RightsLink service, their rights that they service, that they surface now through RightsLink will now be available on copyright.com. Whereas now the rights are very static on copyright.com, but as of December, those RightsLink customers, publishers, will also, we will be surfacing their RightsLink rights via copyright.com, and I can go into that later if that's not clear. Excuse me. So just briefly, just a brief overview of RightsLink. RightsLink is basically a link on an article that basically it says right here, request permission right here on the article. So when you're in the article, you click request permission, and a window comes up and surfaces all the rights that the publisher has actually provided to us. So these are custom to each individual publisher, how they want, what types of use they want to allow to be licensed from their content. And for instance, here we have republishing a magazine or journal, republishing a CD-ROM, make a photocopy, post a digital reprint on website. There's one publisher that even has republishing a poem. Not exactly sure how many scholarly articles are being republished in poems, but they can do whatever they want to do. And then once you choose which type of use you would like, you're given a price, and if that price meets your requirements, then you're issued a license and you go off and reuse that content as you've just been given permission to. Something fairly new for us is RightsLink Author Services, which is you know, obviously for the scholarly publishing community. But how the RightsLink Author Services works is an author submits a manuscript, and the publisher emails the author their acceptance notification. And within that acceptance notification, there's an embedded link which launches RightsLink. And that allows the author to order reprints, pay for color charges, page charges, and actually even pay for an open access article for them to publish in open access. This is a very, very popular feature now for publishers in RightsLink. This is an example of the reprint page that will come up if an article or an author actually wants to order a reprint of their article. They select the quantity and they check the price. And if the price meets their needs, then they are issued a license to make those copies. This is an example of open access order. So an author wants to confirm the details and agree to the price for open access, and they can go on and pay the, in this case, for Informer, they'll pay $3,100 to publish their article in open access. And we have gone beyond text licensing with RightsLink. This is an example of, this is Springer Images. Springer has built a portal with 1.7 million of their images from their various publications, all in one place. So through RightsLink now, you can order permission to reuse an image from the Springer Images site. So once they've selected an image, they'll scroll down to a page and access the RightsLink link, and then they'll get a permission, and there'll be various types of use that they can use that image. This is Rights Central, which I talked about before. This is basically the account for the publishers, the rights holders, to be able to access pretty much anything they need to know about their account. They can see the royalty and content usage reports. They can even you can even see what the top 10 articles within your account are being permissioned on a daily basis. There's tools for reviewing the participating programs first with CCC. You can update your titles, your rights, and your fees in real time on Rights Central. You can also automate rights and permissions. You can go in and tell us what rights and permissions you want to be automated, or you can also view special orders. So if there's orders that you can't automatically permission because you have rights issues or whatever, you can go in and check all those orders that are waiting to be permissioned, give us a permission and a price, and move on. This is just one example from Rights Central of a custom royalty report. So you can actually run royalty reports based on time, based on titles, based on which accounts you have with us, and in a variety of different formats. It includes RightsLink royalties now that I put that there because that's fairly new. It was just before our core programs. And it can reflect data for one or multiple accounts at the same time and over, like I said, a variety of different time frames. And to meet the mobile buzz, you can now get permission directly from your mobile device through copyright.com. So that's fairly new for us, but we're trying to meet, again, the needs of the consumers. And just one other thing I wanted to mention, which we have a very robust educational services department, because no matter how many tools you have, you still have to educate your consumers and your rights holders on copyright, because it's awareness is the most important thing, because none of the tools that we have are mandatory. We aren't the police. We can't police what people are doing out there. We can just provide them with the right tools to help them to do the right thing. We've done, like I said, and last year our fiscal year ended in the end of June. We did 78 webinars. It's about 44 on-site sessions. We reached over 7,800 individuals, both rights holders, corporate customers, and academic customers. We've done two webinars, actually, in partnership with ALPSP, and in each webinar we had over 70 people call in, and we're doing another, a global webinar with them in the near future. So we really, really can't express enough how important education is in when it comes to copyright. And that's it. Do you have any questions? Anthony.
Anthony Wilkinson.
Hello.
My question, how exactly do you relate to the CLA? We're also launching a service, I understand.
What type of service, I'm sorry?
Well, something in this sort of area, I believe, or going to be. So how do you relate to you're the U.S. organization.
Right, and CLA is the U.K. organization, and I'm glad you brought that up. We're members of the International Federation of Reproduction Rights Organizations, IFRO, of which CLA is a member and CCC is a member, and we have bilateral agreements with the CLA. So if something of a U.K. publisher is copied in the U.S., we will grant permission for that and repatriate that those royalties back through the CLA, and in terms it comes to the rights holders, and vice versa, CLA will pay us for their use of U.S. works, and we will pay the U.S. rights holder. Thanks.
I'm David Thomas with Thomson Reuters Scholar One. Is anyone currently using your service to collect submission fees, author submission fees, for open access journals?
Yes, that's what that service is.
So that's really what that is.
That's really what that is.
Mm-hmm. You're actually paying into your
yes.
your site, then you remit
to the publisher. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.